This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz Dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we keep it real, keep it even realer, and you can't have it.
Today, we are talking about upside down foods.
Yep. And this one was suggested by listener Flower Knuckles on Reddit. Great name. And I believe they did not give any indication of what they meant by this, but we loved the phrase so much that we were going to do a whole episode on it.
Yep. Yep. When we first decided to do this episode, I really was drawing a total blank. The only thing that came to mind was pineapple upside down cake.
Of course, which we will talk about for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Matthew, let's skip down memory lane, shall we?
Okay. Yeah. I have so many upside down foods on my memory lane. It's like, it's pretty much like I was a picky eater. Yeah, I was a picky eater as a kid, and I demanded like all my foods be served upside down. I think this is a Dr. Seuss book I'm describing.
I think it's a part of Wacky Wednesday.
It's a total Wacky Wednesday scenario. Yes.
I think the only thing that comes to mind when I think of the phrase upside down foods and my childhood is fruit on the bottom yogurt.
And that is such an interesting observation. Is that an upside down? Our whole episode is going to be like, is this an upside down food?
I don't know.
I feel like it sort of is.
Because the thing is you don't, I mean, I think the intended eating, the serving suggestion for that is to stir the fruit in, right?
Maybe. I think, okay, we should maybe do a whole episode on fruit on the bottom yogurt, because this was a thing I thought was disgusting as a child. Blended yogurt, totally fine. Fruit on the bottom, it's like they're hiding something scary down there, like in the depths, like there's a giant squid down there.
That's right. That's how I feel swimming in open water.
Exactly.
It's so, like fruit on the bottom yogurt.
It's like, yeah, like the whole, if you think of the ocean is like a big yogurt with fruit on the bottom, and you do not want to go down there and see like what's growing down there.
That's right. That's
However,
right.
Since you said that, okay, and now I can imagine three ways of eating fruit on the bottom yogurt, one of which I have never thought about before. So like stirring it up, that's one way. I believe like my mom used to eat it a lot when I was a kid, and I believe she would just like kind of put the spoon down there so you get a little of the fruit with each spoonful. I would sometimes like eat down to the fruit on the bottom and then throw it out. That's another way. But what about like running a knife or spoon around the edge and turning it out like a flan?
I was hoping you would say that.
I want to do this so bad now.
I don't think it's going to come out as neatly as we want it to, but I love the thought of it emerging like a flan or like a just a ready-made panna cotta.
Exactly. So we're recording this remotely today because Molly has a cold. Next time we record together, like a week, or like on Monday, let's have a segment in whatever episode we do that day where we try and turn out a fruit on the bottom yogurt like it's a flan or a panna cotta.
Okay. Could you please procure one or two?
I'll try. I don't know if I can
Do they still make them?
Fruit on the bottom yogurt? Yes, in large quantities.
Was it a Danone brand thing?
It was many brands. I associate it with like store brand, like I'm going to get like a Lucerne, but okay. Many, many brands like Tillamook has fruit on the bottom. Like it's common.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm ready. Okay. Well, so that was my memory lane.
All right. So what are upside down foods?
Well, so, I mean, I think that they are whatever you want them to be.
Kind of. Yeah. Like Watzel and I had some like intense conversations the past few days about upside down foods, which we'll get into. Don't worry.
Are you guys still married?
Like, did it, any of them like descend into like vitriol? Not quite.
Okay.
But we'll definitely get there.
Okay. You'll get to the vitriol. Is it at the bottom of the yogurt cup?
That's what's at the bottom. Yeah. Like the further down you go, the more vitriolic the yogurt gets.
Oh, that's gross. Okay, so let's start off with the obvious one. Okay, this one is so obvious that even June, when I mentioned to her that we were doing an episode on upside down foods, was like, ah, do you mean pineapple upside down cake?
Of course, the
so
classic.
So let's begin.
All right, first of all, have you had this stuff?
No.
No? You've never had a pineapple upside down cake?
I'm the last person on earth.
Wow. Oh, I feel like it's been too long since there's been like a thing everybody's done except you. And this is a good one. I've had it recently because Wife of the Turtle Lori made the pineapple upside down snacking cake from the snacking cake book by Yossi Areffi.
June was recently looking at that and wants to make it.
Yeah. Spiced pineapple upside down cake. I thought it was really tasty. It didn't have maraschino cherries.
Thank God.
Which, yeah, I'm not a big fan of either, although I do like the look of the classic where it's pineapple rings with a cherry in the middle of each ring.
Ooh.
It's got such like a, you know, 50s
that's
like
true.
Regrettable food look to it.
That's true. Okay.
So
I'm really sorry if you hear something in the background. My dog is rubbing his face on the rug and sneezing.
Oh, I turned on like, you know, background noise reduction. So hopefully it's tuned for that.
Okay.
All right. So I tried to look into the history of pineapple upside down cake. The best I was able to come up with was it was possibly made popular by a Dole recipe contest in the 1920s in the U.S. But then according to Wikipedia, they received over 2,000 versions of the recipe, which seems to indicate it was already popular at this time.
Okay, so I'm really interested in this because I wonder what it is that makes it such that pineapple is like the fruit to turn upside down and pour cake batter on.
That's a really good question. Because, like, I mean, we are going to get to others for sure.
See that what I just did there?
No.
I made it sound like you just turned the pineapple upside down and pour batter on it. You don't even have to like cut it up or...
Oh, you just take the whole pineapple.
Yeah, it'll balance upside down, on the crown.
You kind of slop some cake batter on there and then eat. It's like a performance art piece.
So fibrous, so painful.
What if our new thing, like we need to get big on YouTube or TikTok, and our thing is going to be like extremely literal recipes. So like the first one's going to be pineapple upside down cake, as you just described. I don't have an idea for the second one yet, but we are skilled improvisers, so we're going to come up with it right now.
Well, I think this is a really great idea because the only other idea I had for getting famous on like Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and stuff was to you know, like become a trad wife and get pregnant like 8 times. But I'm 45. I feel like days for getting
pregnant
are numbered.
You think
you can
still squeeze 8
in there? I don't
know.
You
might have to go the octuplets route.
Okay.
Which would be huge on TikTok. We haven't had an octo mom
in
too long.
TikTok?
Huge. Yeah. Have you tried huge TikToks? It's new, like new for the makers of TikToks, but it's just one big one. They just lick every time you need to freshen your breath.
Can you imagine if instead of chapstick, if you had like this giant Tic Tac that you would like keep in your bag and just lick it?
Yes. Okay. So wait, I did come up with another idea for our extremely literal food TikTok.
Okay.
Hamburger. So we'll dress up as burgers, like B-U-R-G-H-E-R, which is like a member of the bourgeoisie, like in a like a mercantile society. And then we'll just carry like big hams.
Okay. I'm here for it.
So we've got
Halloween.
two hit videos. Yeah, we need to get these done by Halloween.
Okay. So back to what we were saying. Hold on.
Okay, hang on. I need to take off my sweatshirt. It's too warm in here.
Oh, I know. I'm really heating things up with my talk about getting pregnant at age 45. Matthew, what do you think it is that makes it so that pineapple is the fruit to put in an upside down cake?
Oh, wow. I'm so glad you remembered that that's what we were talking about before we got onto hammed burgers. I don't know. I think... because there are others, like, is it kind of the right amount of juicy, maybe? So that, like, some of the juice, like, sinks, like, gets into the cake, but not so much that it makes it soggy, maybe?
Maybe also, well, it's pretty, you know, if you cut it into
rings.
That
is true.
The other thing that
What are some other canned fruits that could, in principle, be used?
I mean... I think that you could kind of use anything. I mean, we're going to talk about tart tatin in a minute. There's also like pear tatin, but like
pears
fall.
Yeah, you could make like a canned pears, but it would fall apart,
It would
right?
fall apart. It would fall apart. Apple would do well, but you have to cook the apple too long to get it
right.
ready.
Right. We'll talk about tart tatin.
So I wonder if pineapple is kind of the perfect thing because it has structural integrity even when it's cooked, unlike a pear, for instance. And it also doesn't take forever to cook.
This reminds me of, I feel like there was like a Planet Money episode about like why gold became like the most popular precious metal like for thousands of years, and they concluded that it had to do with like certain properties of gold, like it doesn't tarnish, and like I don't remember what the other ones were.
Can we
it's
find
like
that
rare,
and link
rare
to it?
But not too rare.
Pineapples are like a kind of gold. They're
absolutely.
A gold color sometimes.
Yeah. So same reason.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe we should like put this, we should email this question to planetmoney@npr.org and ask them to do a pineapple episode.
Let's do.
I feel like they would focus on like, yeah, like colonialism and stuff instead of the important questions. Like, why is it the only one used for upside down cake?
That's right.
I learned that a pineapple upside down cake also beloved in Brazil and Portugal. Not sure exactly when this happened or why, but like very similar to the American version.
Okay, so anything else we need to say about pineapple upside down cake?
Well, I mean, Watzel recently made the one from Snacking Cakes, and I thought it was really tasty. I snacked it. And it's not made with rings, so it's made with more like little chunks.
Okay.
So you get like a beautiful, it looks like sort of like a paved path, like a cobblestoned path on top rather than a bunch of rings with cherries in them.
Did it look like Memory Lane?
It looked like it tasted like Memory Lane, yeah, but with a hint of spice.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to the next thing that obviously comes to mind, which is tart tatin. We just talked a minute ago about apples being another suitable candidate for an upside down preparation,
which
but
I put
it
under
takes time
under the heading of upside down cakes. But is it a cake? I've never made it. I've eaten it maybe once or twice.
Oh, I've made it a lot. I really love tart tatin, and I went through a period of wanting to perfect my technique with it. I think I wrote the recipe for it in Bon Appetit or A Homemade Life or something way back when. It is definitely more tart or pie than cake because for the crust, you either go like puff pastry or a pâte brisée kind of route.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think the reason that it is done the way it's done is you really have to cook the apples for quite some time in the skillet. Right?
Okay.
Like you can't, I mean, I think you could just pour a batter over them instead of putting pastry there, but ooh, the pastry's so nice against
of
the
course,
mushy
yeah.
apple. You know?
And you start with like pretty big apple chunks, right?
You do. I think I start with quarters.
I want one of these.
Oh my God. Matthew, I should make you one. I'm really pretty darn good at it.
Okay.
And I get the apples like really, I get the caramel really.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I want one of these. And I think like either pastry would be fine, but I think I may lean toward puff.
I like puff with it. And I have to say, I buy Dufour puff pastry.
Oh, yeah, of course. I wasn't thinking I was going to like ask you to make puff pastry.
Matthew, I was thinking about this when I was thinking about this episode. Do you know how...
It was kind of tautological, but yeah.
So have you bought Dufour puff pastry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is it like...
For sure.
why is it gray?
Oh, I don't know. Have I noticed that it's gray?
I feel like it is the most off-putting color.
I think
color.
When I said I've bought it, what I mean is Watsel has bought it and made stuff with it. I'm not sure how many times I've actually deployed puff pastry myself.
It is a surprising color when you take it out of the package, like when it is in its unbaked state. It's like unappealing.
Okay.
I would love to have somebody weigh in on this. Kenji. Hey, Kenji.
Yeah, listener
Kenji.
Feel free
to text us.
Yeah, text us like a few weeks from today and let us know why puff pastry, frozen puff pastry might be gray.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the Dufour really is better. On the other hand, the like Pepperidge Farm, not made with real butter, also very tasty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's still crispy,
fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else?
All
right. I feel like now we're going to veer into more like gray territory.
Yeah, and like, okay, so there's a thing I want to discuss that maybe we should like bring up sooner. Like, we'll get back to like cakes and cake-like things in a minute, but here's what I want to ask you. This is the thing that almost brought me and wife of the show, Lori, to tears. Actually, like, we didn't really disagree on this at all, but for the sake of love a good story, if you're in space... Like, okay, so first of all, if you are upside down on Earth, like hanging like with gravity boots or something, is anything you eat an upside down food?
No. You're upside down.
Okay, that's fair. I did a little bit of research on eating upside down, which like I feel like there was a time like it's a question that like kids ask or like, you know, you ask to try and like entertain a child, like, you know, can you still eat upside down or would the food just like fall right back out of your mouth? And like, I think everybody knows.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I just saw that you have an entire section on the agenda devoted to eating upside down.
Yeah, that's right. So
go on.
So yes, of course, it is possible to eat upside down. As someone put it on Quora, it's the same way you're able to vomit standing up. It's peristalsis. So like the esophagus has muscles that like move the food along. But I really like this answer from Quora user Kay Doyle, who wrote, quote, "I'm not an expert, but here's my observations from previous experience. A, you spill food all over yourself. B, you swallow more air, so you burp and fart more. C, you end up with food or drink in your nose, as what once was the roof of your mouth Ooh. Is now the bottom. And the hole that goes to your nose is ready for anything to go in."
Ready for anything.
Ready
to
for
go
anything.
In.
So I guess don't do that.
Wait a minute. Isn't this like a cake stand?
I've heard that term and I don't really know what it is.
I've never seen it done. I've certainly never done it myself.
I mean, I guess we're going to do it on our TikTok where we're just going to stand on a keg.
I bet we have a lot of listeners who have done keg stands.
Yeah, probably most of them.
Our listeners love to party.
That's true.
And like, Kenji, text us.
Our listeners are very much into the Greek system.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know, like, I never thought about this, but yeah, if you were doing a keg stand... Or, you know, for those who have never done it,
I keep thinking you're saying cake stand and like envisioning just a cake stand.
You're doing a keg stand. You're upside down on the keg, right? People are holding you, helping you to do a handstand.
I'm going to look up keg stand on Wikipedia.
And you
there is an article about this.
You are slurping the beer directly out of the keg tube, which I'm sure has a name.
Yeah.
Wow. It never occurred to me that you might get like beer in your nose.
I'm going to go ahead and say this doesn't seem like a great idea.
Really?
Huh. I mean, up until now, I thought people did this because they thought it was a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
But I'm still cool. Let's make this clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then wife of the show, Lori, asked the question that blew everything wide open, which was, if you're in space, can you eat upside down? Is there such a thing as upside down in space?
There's not a thing as upside down in space.
That's what I said. But then Lori said, what if you're on a space station and there's like monitors and controls and shit that have like an orientation and you are like turned 180 degrees from the orientation? So like the print, the like words on the monitor are upside down. Then are you upside down?
Jeez, I hate this. I mean, I was going to say that I think that a space station is an anthropocentric concept.
It's true.
And,
yeah.
And space is not anthropocentric.
Okay. So if you're like out in the vacuum of space, then probably like whether your food is upside down is not going to be one of your top concerns.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's
fair. I'm going to put that out. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. I sort of got the idea at some point that like wife of the show, Lori, had maybe been on a space station or was planning to become a space tourist at some point. Like she was like more into this idea than I expected.
Do you guys like exploring hypothetical ideas together?
Sure.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Interesting. Okay. Why not?
Former spouse of the show, Brandon, when we were like newly dating, he liked to explore this hypothetical of like, is bank robbery moral? Like, haven't we talked about this before?
Probably, but it feels like a pretty easy question.
This is a classic Brandon Pettit hypothetical. Like, could he rob a bank? Like, would that be okay?
No, definitely not. This is so easy.
It's like not moral because ultimately you're stealing money from people.
But more to the point, you're like putting the people in the bank in extreme danger who have like nothing to do with you and your problems.
Oh, this is true. Anyway, but Brandon loved
like so what about what if
this.
You were like stealing some bitcoins from like some like a bitcoin exchange where like most of the people other people are like, you know,
you mean they're
crypto.
Not people like in an actual bitcoin exchange like on Wall Street?
Well, but you're stealing other people's deposits, but probably those people are like some combination of like you know, drug kingpins and crypto bros.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Anyway, I do not like exploring hypotheticals. It drives me nuts.
Okay, so that's not the kind of thing I meant. I'm more like, you know, what if we were in space? Like, you know, what's another hypothetical? Like, you know, imagine living in a different place or like, you know, what if we had never met and like, you know, who would we be like settled down with? That sort of thing.
Oh, that's like playing MASH.
It is like playing MASH. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy MASH.
Sure. That's a hypothetical.
It is.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Like, see, I think you just don't like stressful hypotheticals.
That's true.
Like,
okay.
I don't want to rob a bank.
Yeah, because, you know, here was my conundrum. If I went along with it, I was married to a man who straight up might do something like that. Because Brandon Pettit, when I met him, was like, I don't know, a real renegade.
I think like you would get to some point of the process where you're like, this is too dangerous. I don't actually want to go to jail.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Masterclass.
Matthew, this weekend I took a class from somebody who I bet you admire as much as I do.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can guess who that is. Denzel Washington.
No, so close though.
Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
Okay, yeah, very similar.
Yes. So Margaret Atwood, she has a series of 23 classes on MasterClass.
23 classes.
And I only had time, honestly, to watch two of them. But one of the ones that I watched was about how she chose to do to write The Handmaid's Tale in first person, where she wrote Alias Grace from multiple points of view.
Wow.
And so it was so interesting to listen to her talk about like the feeling that she wanted the book to have and why a story should be told from this perspective or that one. Anyway, even though I'm a writer and I teach writing, I think this stuff would be fascinating even to people who just read the book. It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, Masterclass is for you. If you're like me, a bit of a prima donna, and you're like, I want to learn something, but I only want to learn from the best, you go to Masterclass. You can you know, learn to think like a boss with Martha Stewart. You can learn to shoot three-pointers with Steph Curry. Like, if you imagine the person who's best at the thing you want to learn, they are probably already on Masterclass teaching how to do it.
That is accurate. And plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, like, zero risk here. If you are a lifelong learner, and we certainly hope you are,
if you're a lifelong learner, why are you listening to this show? Instead, head over to Masterclass for an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The Comically Unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
I just thought of another sticky food that is, like, unquestionably
Sticky food. were we talking about sticky foods? I guess a tarte tatin is kind of sticky.
Sorry, I just thought of another upside down food.
Okay, unquestionably hypothetical question. Are all upside down foods sticky?
No, okay, hold on. The reason I said that is because I thought of sticky buns.
Sticky buns are, yes, absolutely an upside down food. Like, that's the next question. Like, is any food that you, like, flip the pan over and turn them out an upside down food? And I think yes.
Well, but then cake is an upside down food because you usually serve, like, bundt cake. You serve it, like, upside down.
I literally put bundt cake on here. I think bundt cake is an upside down food. It bakes one way, but then you eat it the other way.
Yeah, but then anything could be an upside down food. I could be like, ooh, I roasted this chicken breast side up, but now I'm going to eat the thigh. And the way that the thigh is oriented on my plate, it's like it's an upside down chicken.
Yeah, I agree. That's upside down chicken.
Okay,
I knew what this would get away from us, and I'm so happy it did. But okay. Now, if you think about the bundt cake, like,
yeah,
it's an upside down food when you, like, present the beautifully turned out bundt cake, which also, by the way, I think is, like, the scariest thing in all of cooking is trying to turn out a bundt cake, right?
Yeah, it's really nerve-wracking.
But then you're going to slice it, and the slice is going to sit on its side while you're eating it, so then it becomes a sideways food. Next week's episode, sideways food.
And we're gonna interview Paul Giamatti.
Hey, that's what I was gonna say.
Oh yeah, Matthew. Okay.
I don't think that movie, like, I think that movie's probably pretty problematic, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that movie probably doesn't hold up. But you know what does hold up?
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti's cameo in Singles.
Yes.
Oh, remember in the Virginia Inn?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
So good. Once again, we found a way to mention Singles in a Spilled Milk episode.
Yeah, I recently picked up a flyer. I didn't go to the show, but like a bunch of bands like got together to like play the entire single, cover the entire Singles soundtrack as like a tribute show. We should have gone to this.
Matthew, we are living in the right city.
Oh, yeah, sure, for sure.
Okay, what about like other things? Like, okay, so right now I have both a ketchup bottle and a mayonnaise bottle in my fridge that are designed to be stored upside down.
That's an upside down food.
Okay.
I think, yes. I think that is a great innovation in condiment packaging and shampoo packaging.
Oh, you know what? I have a Pantene bottle right now that's designed to be upside down.
Yeah, no, like it makes you think, like, why did we ever have right side up bottles?
Or, yeah, like, why do we keep doing this?
Right.
Like, because I the majority of the bottles I have in my shower are right side up.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, this does not really apply in the shower where like, it's okay to make a mess because you're going to clean it right up. But like a ketchup bottle, I think there is like a risk that you could like flip open the bottom thing and like a little bit of ketchup like splotches out.
It's usually ketchup water.
Ooh.
I know. So like
I think ketchup water maybe worse than the fruit on the bottom.
What about mustard water? Oh, that always wants to come out first too. So yeah, I mean, I think this is the hazard of using upside down condiment packaging is that
that's
you
true.
Think you can just flip the lid and squirt, but you still have to shake it.
Yes, I think you can flip the lid and squirt. I recently tried a new product I probably already mentioned, which was Dawn. What's it called? Dawn upside down bottle. Dawn Easy Squeeze. There we go. And I thought it did this really well. You have to, like, the trade-off is, like, if it's not going to drip, you have to squeeze it pretty hard. So, like, you do need to have, like some measure of hand strength for that format to work.
Well, and then there's the perennial problem with Dawn, which is that it makes your sponge smell like mildew.
I know. Like, I should write the Procter & Gamble a letter, like a handwritten letter, and say, please make this available in, like, you know, not even fragrance-free, but, like, unscented version.
Yeah, I don't know why Dawn is still being manufactured. It literally makes everything it touches smell like mildew.
But it's blue. Okay, so upside down condiments, definitely an upside down food. Okay.
Okay.
Here's a rabbit hole that I went down. When you eat a burger, do you ever flip it upside down so the top bun becomes the bottom bun?
You know, maybe I do like midway through. Mm-hmm. You're right. I started to shake my head no, but I think maybe I do, actually.
Yeah, I definitely sometimes do this. Like, if it feels like there's a risk that the bottom bun is going to disintegrate, because like the bottom bun is usually thinner than the top bun.
You know, when I made burgers recently from some Butcher Box ground meat, Butcher Box, which is an advertiser for Spilled Milk. Thank you, Butcher Box. The meat was so juicy, it literally just destroyed the bun. And I do think I flipped it upside down in that case.
Yeah. The thing that I was delighted to find when I was researching upside down burgers is that this is one of those things that's like a perennial news story for like a clickbait story for slow news days. Like, here's an example headline. Eat your burgers upside down. Food experts say everything you know about burger binging is wrong.
Ooh, everything about burger binging sounds yeah. wrong to me. That but sounds it's always really
like
painful.
You can, like any day of the year, like you can say like, you know, did you know there's a better way to eat burgers? And I guess people will click on it. And then you can find like backlash to these articles like, no, you should eat your burger right side up. So like the meat touches your tongue first, not the toppings. Do you have a strong opinion on this?
Nope.
Okay.
Because I don't put very many toppings on my burger.
I agree. Yeah. Like,
here's the other thing. So cheese is on top, right? So if I mm-hmm. turn the burger upside down, the cheese touches my tongue first.
Yeah. Now I should
really
warn you.
Nice.
We are veering directly into Sporkful territory here.
Oh, no. Okay.
We're going to get a cease and desist from Dan Patch. And by the way, we've invented a new pasta shape.
It's called the upside down pasta.
Yes.
And oh, God, I can't believe we haven't talked about Stranger Things yet in this episode.
Oh, that I didn't even think of it. Like, I watched the first two seasons and then kind of forgot about it. We also haven't talked about the timpano from Big Night.
Oh, yes. Right? I was going to say that our pasta is shaped like Winona Ryder's face.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, Stranger Things. Or maybe it's the one of the other guys. The kids,
yeah, like
but
Finn Wolfhard's face. Maybe it's like there you know, it has like all of their faces as pasta shapes, and somehow you're like the fidelity is very low. So, like, is this Winona Ryder? Is this Finn Wolfhard? Is this one of the other guys?
Is this Vecna?
Is this Millie Bobby Brown in pasta form?
She'd have a little bit of blood dripping out of her pasta nose.
Gross. But we can use like tomato juice.
Beet juice.
This is a great idea. We are gonna like destroy Dan Pashman and his pasta with this idea. Do you think we have to license
to
Stranger
to
Things
market.
Or can we just make our own Stranger Things pasta without
just
asking?
Make our own. Okay. Because yeah, it's nobody can do it as well as we can.
That's right.
And the people at Stranger Things know that. We are the pasta people.
We are the pasta people.
Okay, wait a minute. Matthew, okay. I have another idea.
Yes.
Flan.
Flan. I would say definitely an upside down food.
Oh, big time. You can't have flan without turning something upside down.
Yeah.
Blizzards.
Yes.
Blizzards.
Okay. So I think there may be some listeners who are not familiar with this concept, although I'm sure we've talked about it many times before, that like a blizzard is this wonderful, like blended soft serve ice cream dessert served at the Dairy Queen chain. And when they serve the blizzard, they like prove to you that it's like thick and rich by turning the cup fully upside down before giving it to you. They turn it upside down and then back right side up. They don't turn it upside down and then hand you the upside down cup.
The other thing is there's usually signage in Dairy Queen that says if they don't do this,
right.
your blizzard is free.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what else there is to say about that in the context of upside down foods, but it's one of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, Matthew, it occurs to me that there's a whole realm of like savory upside down foods that I think we haven't touched on yet.
So wait, one more thing about blizzards. One thing I like about when they turn the blizzard upside down is like if the employee gives you sort of a look like we both know this is like a dumb thing that my boss is making me do, but I'm doing it anyway. So are we kind of on the same page about this? I really enjoy that little, you know, mm-hmm. fraction of a second human interaction.
Truly. The joyless look on their
yeah,
faces.
And like me, I'm trying to get across the idea of like I'm not like some asshole who's going to call you on it if you didn't flip the blizzard all the way and try and demand a free blizzard. Like, you know, we're on the same side here, even though there's like a big power differential. Savory foods.
Yeah, let's talk about savory foods because, for instance, there is tadig.
Yes. So like the
right?
Persian, like Tadic. crispy bottom rice dish that you turn out and becomes a crispy top rice dish. There's similar Palestinian dish, maklouba. So like any number of things where like you crisp something up on the bottom of the pan and then you want to showcase that. So you flip it upside down. When I make skillet cornbread, we did a cornbread episode. Like I will flip that out so that it like showcases the burnished crispy bottom and that it doesn't get soggy as quickly.
Okay.
I think most like Southern style cornbread people do not do that, but I do.
What about, so for my birthday, you cooked a bistro night. For me. What about that potato galette you made? Was that cooked and flipped?
It was not.
It was just thinly sliced potatoes.
Just thinly sliced potatoes with Gruyere and Parmesan cheese and thyme and shallots.
It was incredible.
Yeah, but that is served right side up. So we cannot mention it on this episode.
Oh, no.
But there's this, are you familiar with the Nigella Lawson dish supper onion pie? I think from How to Be a Domestic Goddess, maybe.
Mm-mm.
It's sort of like a tartatin of onions. You like cook a bunch of red onions and put them in the bottom of a pie plate. I did not eat enough before this episode. I'm getting so hungry. and then you put like a cheesy pastry disc over that, and then you bake it for a while, and then you flip it over and serve it with the onions on top. So good. I haven't made it in too long.
That sounds incredible. Wow. Okay. No, I'd never heard of that, but I do have that book.
Let's have that sometime soon. We can have like an upside down bistro night, because I'll make that, and then you can make the tart tatin.
Oh, yes. Okay.
What could be better than bistro night? Upside down bistro night.
Yes. Okay, hold on.
I would go to the upside down from Stranger Things if we could have upside down bistro night there.
And if we could have our upside down Stranger Things pasta there.
Yes, of course. No, we're gonna market that in the real world and the upside down, and we're gonna make double the money.
Yes. What about like terrines or pâtés?
I mean, I think by the definition we're working with, these are upside down foods.
Especially if you're making like a country pâté or something, and let's say you line the terrine mold
with bacon,
you got to serve that upside down.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. This is such a rich vein. What about Jell-O molds?
I've never actually seen one in the flesh.
I don't know if I have either. You know, that's like anything molded has got to be served upside down, right?
I think so.
Or is it that you're making it upside down and then it's served right side up?
Oh my God. Okay. My mom back in the 80s used to have these like butter molds where you could make butter in specific shapes. Do you remember this?
Yes. I think we sold those at Sur La Table. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
This would have been like a very 80s thing to do. Very early days of Martha Stewart.
Absolutely. So do you remember any specific shapes? Like maybe Winona Ryder's face?
I think that mom had some ones that were like Christmas themed where it was like you would make kind of like a Christmas tree shape.
Okay, that makes sense.
That was truly like in relief, like, you know, it had dimension to it.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of like what other like 80s actors might have been available in the form of butter molds.
Don Johnson?
Maybe Don Johnson, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
Philip Michael Thomas.
Who is that?
The other guy on Miami Vice. Oh. whose career apparently just like went up in smoke as soon as Miami Vice ended.
You know, Matthew, when I went to buy some postcard stamps recently to send postcards
to Don Johnson stamps
to our new subscribers during our pledge drive, the postcard stamps that I got from my like local like mail place, they were these wonderful like Miami Vice colors.
Oh.
And it had like a sailboat.
Okay.
And the guy who handed me the sheet of them and was ringing me up, I was like, ooh, these are very Miami Vice. And he looked at me like he had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, I think like that may be disappearing from the cultural consciousness or may have already.
How am I going to describe things like this?
What were the stamps called?
There was only one choice. So he gave me the postcard stamps.
I was wondering if these are like Jimmy Buffett memorial stamps.
They're very Jimmy
Buffett. They worked really fast on that.
If there was like a little margarita, I would have.
Yeah.
Hang on, Matthew. I've got them right here.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
You can't really see, but like this sail is pink.
Okay. You know, I can see it. Yeah. No, I like it. It does. It's like a Miami Vice sort of like, you know, like a
it's also kind of
regatta.
Nantucket.
Okay. It's interesting that we mentioned Wacky Wednesday earlier. Do you remember back that far? Let's go down memory lane from this episode, because near the beginning of the episode, I tried to think, are there any books about upside down foods? And I came up with one, the Butter Battle book by Dr. Seuss, which is like a Cold War metaphor involving some people who eat their bread butter side up and some people who eat their bread butter side down.
I forgot about this. This was a Cold War metaphor?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, because the whole thing was about like they get into this arms race where the weapons get more and more elaborate, but they're like fighting over absolutely nothing.
Oh, how did I never? Well, I guess because I was a child and I was just taking it at face value.
Yeah, no, when I was a kid, like I definitely like was into geopolitics.
And that's when your favorite movie was Dr. Strangelove.
Did you ever watch the show Alias? With Jennifer Garner.
Oh, I think I may have watched it like a few episodes. Maybe.
Okay, well, like Watson and I came up with an Alias joke that I was very proud of, but like maybe some of our listeners will enjoy it because we're not actually going to do this. In Alias, like her cover for her like, super spy job is that she works at a bank called Credit Dauphine. But like when she goes into the bank, she goes into a secret door that leads to the underground lair of like the secret agent company. And so Lori and I said we're going to start like an Alias rewatch podcast called Credit Dauphine's Guide to the Global Capital Markets. So like you have to be like really in the know, because otherwise you're going to see the name of this and be like, I'm not listening to that.
you guys
we know
how to
have fun. Yeah,
just like our listeners.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you
this
guys.
This is
did
what
you guys
we do instead of keg stands.
Oh, okay. Now I know.
That's our wild hypothetical. Is like, what if we started a podcast,
Matthew? Let's do a segment. Do you want to?
Yeah, I would love to do a segment. We don't have like another hour of material about upside down foods.
Please, no.
Okay.
Okay. This week we have some mail from listener Talia. Matthew, do you want to read it?
Sure. I'm coming up on the anniversary of my divorce, and I'm planning to throw a party. The thick stars was very important for me during the hard parts of my divorce, so I figured I'd come to you for a fun part, too. What kind of foods would you serve at a divorce-iversary party? I'm struggling to come up with much more than champagne and Oreos, since they're separable. I don't have any ideas for this, so I'm putting it to you.
No, Matthew.
Yeah, okay, all right, then we'll come up with them together.
Okay. Okay. First of all, congratulations.
Let me pitch you a concept. Yeah. Congratulations on,
congratulations, listener,
being in a good place to celebrate this. What about the theme of upside down foods? Because like a divorce can really turn your life upside down, but then like you've now like righted yourself.
Yeah. Good one, Matthew.
Thanks.
I would have never thought of that. Okay. Hold on. Let me think this through.
Oh, wait. Huevos divorciados.
Oh, God, right? That's such a good idea. But then it's going to have to be like a brunch party.
It's going to be a brunch party because like but that's like so delicious.
It is so delicious. You could do it for dinner, breakfast for dinner.
Of course you could do it for dinner, yes.
Huevos for dinner. You know, okay, listener Talia, I'm sorry. I'm going to be boring here. But okay. If this were my diversive word.
Yeah. You need to diversify your portfolio, and Credit Dauphine can help.
If this were my divorce-iversary party, God, that's fun to say and difficult. I think I would just serve whatever the fuck I like eating.
Yeah, of course.
Matthew, if you were having a hypothetical divorce-iversary party, God, I'm having a tough time with that. Like, what is something that you would serve that you absolutely love that maybe your spouse
Okay, so you went from saying like you don't like hypotheticals to like forcing me to imagine a scenario where like I've divorced my beloved spouse and have to like play at a party to celebrate this. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about the idea of I'm thinking like a half and half pizza where like one half is stuff that your ex liked but you don't, and you just like throw it in the garbage. Lori and I have very we agree a lot on pizza toppings, so I don't know if that would really work. I don't know. Like, I think you don't want to highlight it to the extent of like serving things you don't like. I don't think.
No. This is all about things you do like.
Okay, so yeah, so maybe things. Well, yeah. What about the idea of like things you like that your ex like would not have eaten?
That's what I suggested.
Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Okay.
In this case,
okay, this is why you and I are going to have a divorce anniversary party, because I never listen.
Let's see here. We are coming up on my, okay, Brandon and I got divorced in May of 2017. So we just had, oh my God, our sixth divorce-iversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we have now been divorced long enough that I kind of don't remember the foods that Brandon doesn't like.
Okay. I mean, that feels like a good milestone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But you remember the foods that you like, so you should just serve
those. Yeah. Okay, perfect.
Okay, I think we answered this brilliantly.
Great.
And
you
Oreos.
You are welcome, listener Talia.
Talia, what about this? What about champagne and Oreos?
I love that.
Okay.
I love that. Well, cool.
Molly, do you have a now but wow?
Do I ever. So, Rachel Kong, who I first knew of for her food
Me
writing.
Too.
She was she an editor at Lucky Peach? I should know this.
I think so.
She was the author of a book that was written by the Lucky Peach editors in part called All About Eggs.
Sure.
But anyway, she wrote for Lucky Peach, Bon Appetit, and more. Anyway, Rachel Kong, K-H-O-N-G. She is a novelist. She's written so many different genres. She's a novelist primarily. Her second novel, which is called Real Americans, is coming out in April. And I know that that is still a ways away, but pre-orders are really important. So you should pre-order this book.
Oh, this sounds really good. Can I read a little bit of the flap copy? Because it's about
Please.
Me. Okay.
Please.
Real Americans begins on the precipice of Y2K in New York City when 22-year-old Lily Chen, an unpaid intern at a slick media company, meets Matthew. Matthew is everything Lily is not, and you're going to see how this really fits me. Easygoing and effortlessly attractive, a native East Coaster, and most notably heir to a vast pharmaceutical empire.
Oh, that is you
right?
to a T.
Yeah, all of those things.
Some of you may have read Rachel's first novel, which is called Goodbye Vitamin. Matthew, have you read it?
Yes, I have. I thought it was great.
I loved it. I really, really loved it. So I am so looking forward to Real Americans. It'll be out in April 2024. We will link to the Penguin Random House listing for it in our show notes. You should pre-order it. A pre-order goes a long way, and I think we're all going to love this book.
Okay. Our producer is Abby Circatella. Yeah, we plugged our stuff.
We do stuff.
Recently.
We're always
doing stuff. We're always like flipping yogurts.
Yeah, let's not plug
right.
our stuff. Let's plug it up.
is that going to
so
be
so it stops leaking out the bottom?
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay, you can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can hang out and nominate other upside down foods. You can like trade hypothetical scenarios with other listeners at everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the only podcast hosted by a couple of real, I can't remember the name of the monster, shit, Gorgo Melons.
Demogorgons.
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 Yes. Yeah.
There we go.
I don't want a demo.
This is our Demogorgon tape.
Have you heard Molly Matthews' Demogorgon tape? It rocks. Like, kind of lo-fi.
Sign them.
Yeah. I'm Matthew Esther Burton.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Best episode ever.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Oh, okay.
Everything was going so well until you did that.
Okay, we'll edit that out.
Okay.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.